Good evening.
Good evening.
I mistakenly said good morning to one of the members here, and I'm making sure that I got it right this time. I thank you all for letting me come up here and be able to preach. I'd like to ask you all to keep in mind two things, and that is Fairview, and that is my parents. Today, my dad announced that he was going to be resigning from Fairview, and this is pretty big thing for both our church and for both my parents. Pray that you would pray for both. It's going to be a tough time. We're going to have to rely on the Lord a lot. So I pray that you would keep them in your prayers. The message that the Lord has tonight is the word priority. And I'm going to first take from the text of Genesis chapter 13. And we're going to take the example of Abram and Lot. This is very early in Genesis. This was before Abram became Abraham. And within this chapter, we'll just go ahead and read it. I'm going to read the first 13 verses. And it says, "And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite," sorry if I said that wrong, "dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee separate thyself, I pray thee, from me? If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right, or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes, and behold all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. And Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." And going off the word priority, I want to break apart this passage in two. I want to take two examples, one from Abram and one from Lot. We see with Abram, he's been a very loyal man to the Lord. And he had full trust and faith in the Lord that he would end up where the Lord wants him. He gives the choice to Lot to choose which way to go. And Lot here does not confront the Lord, what the Lord wants of him, where he needs to go. He takes upon himself and looks and sees all the beauty and the richness of the land of Sodom and pitches his tent there on his own will, due because that's what he thought was best. And I'm not going to read it, but we all know the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. This choice not only affected him, his selfishness not only affected him, but generations to come. And just from this example here, we can take and apply this to our lives. We're faced with a choice every day in life to either serve the Lord or serve ourselves. As saved individuals, we're able to serve the Lord in full capacity. as God intended. However, with free will, we have the choice to either serve him or not. And we are allowed the choice to go with what we think is best. And it's very common with people my age, but it's also common amongst all ages, that you can make your life what you want it to be, but that doesn't mean that that's what the Lord wants of what your life to be. Or let me rephrase that. Just because it's what you want doesn't mean it's what the Lord wants. And we see this with Lot. And we see later on Abram becoming Abraham and being the father of many nations, being the father of the Israelites, God's chosen people. And then we see Lot, who were a cursed nation. The Moabites and Ammonites, I believe, came from him. And they were a thorn in the side of God's people. So it not only came down to just Lot and punishment for Lot, but generations to come after him. The choices, I feel like, in the moment seem like it just affects us, but we don't realize very often that our choices lead on to others, those around us, and us in the future. They continue to be attached to us as we carry on. And if you continue to keep going down a life and build a life that is upon your own choice, that you built yourself, that's eventually going to have to go if you want to start following the Lord. They do not coincide. So I also want to take another example. This one from a book that I don't think very many have read, but from Ezra. And I may have to give a little bit of context for this, but that's all right. For this, I'm only going to read the first five. But before that, I'm just going to give you a little synopsis of where the Israelites are at this point. The Israelites had some bad points and have ended up split into two. There was the North Kingdom and the South Kingdom being Israel, or Judah. And the North Kingdom at this point was taken over by the Assyrians. They fell short of the expectations of God. They got very caught up in what they wanted and what was made of them. They were caught up in a lot of idolatry. And so they were destroyed for it and taken away. And that left Judah. And Judah held on a little longer, but was eventually succumbed to the same fate and was taken by the Babylonians. And here is where we leave off. They were under Nebuchadnezzar the Second, I believe, at this point. And they are eventually pretty settled within the Babylonian kingdom. And we see here with the new king, who is Cyrus. And we'll go ahead and read the first five. Or Cyrus. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, that he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and put it also in writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people, his God, be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord, God of Israel. He is the God, which is in Jerusalem. And whosoever remaineth in any place where he sojourneth, let the men of his place help him with silver, and with gold, and with goods, and with beasts, beside the freewill offering for the house of God that is in Jerusalem. Then rose up the chief of the fathers of Judah, and Benjamin, and the priests, and the Levites, with all of them, whose spirit God hath raised to go up to build the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. So Cyrus was giving the Israelites a chance to go back and rebuild Jerusalem, the land that they once had. But they were given a choice. They weren't forced to. So he goes to all the Israelites, which are now intermixed with the Babylonian empire at this point. And he says, Israelites, you can go rebuild Jerusalem. And they began, some faithful people, Israelites, went back to rebuild Jerusalem. But the thing is, not all of them went. Some of them were very comfortable with the lives that they had built within Babylon. They were quite comfortable. They did not want to get up and put in the work that the Lord was setting before them. They chose to sit back and to continue to live in this life of luxury in Babylon. They were now Babylonians. They were no longer Israelites. So, again, two different people. People that there's one set who were the Israelites and continue to go on and be Israelites, who chose to go back and rebuild Jerusalem and the kingdom of God. And the second one, which chose to continue and build their own life, to do their own thing. And these two have very similar. Those who went and did all the work, put in the work, chose eventually reaped the benefits and were blessed by the Lord. It wasn't easy. I'm sure they wanted to go back. But they still continued to push through for God's work. And like I said, God blessed them for it. I looked up, it won't directly say it, but there's historians that say that only about of the 100 people that were of the Israelites that were taken, or the Judeans that were taken by the Babylonians, only about 20% went back to rebuild Jerusalem. It's guesstimated to be about 80% stayed in Babylon. So they were not in the majority. I'm sure it was very hard for them to leave friends and family behind that chose to live this life to go and serve the Lord. I hope you don't have to go through a similar situation, but I feel like on the day-to-day, I come across little instances that are very similar to this, where I can choose to continue to go my own way, ways that I choose on my own behalf, or to follow after the plan that God has for me. And all these little decisions, day by day, eventually become stacked, and they will reveal who you truly are and where your priority is. If you continue to serve yourself, you'll eventually build something of yourself, but it won't mean anything in the service of God and His people. It's not always easy to follow after what God wants for you. Sometimes it will challenge you. I'm just going to reference it with Abraham, going back to Abraham, him and his son that he was blessed with, Isaac, was a miracle in and of itself. He was given a task by God to go up and to sacrifice his only son. And Abraham, being the faithful man that he is, willingly did it without second guessing. And it was the heart, but also the courage to go through with it that the Lord was wanting and looking for. It's less of what's external and more what's internal. If you get what's internal right, if you have your heart right and set with the Lord, the external will fix itself. As in, if you have your focus on the Lord, all those needs will be met. All those things that you're worrying about, the Lord will not let his people suffer. And we can see this in Matthew 6 and 33. Just that one verse is all I'm going to read. And it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That being, actually, I'm just going to go ahead and read that. Starting in 24, because this is a good chapter. "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, that ye shall drink, eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which day is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof." It's pretty plain simple what Jesus is saying here. But we shouldn't take thought, we shouldn't worry about the things that is already covered. We need to first seek after the kingdom of God, and all the things that we worry about on our day-to-day will fix itself with the Lord's help. I feel like we worry way too often about the wrong things. Day-to-day things that just don't matter on the overall scheme of things. Because this life isn't just about us. We're thinking selfishly like Lot. We have generations after us that are going to be coming after us. And if we're not preparing and helping and building, what are we going to leave them with? We need to get serious about following after the Lord's work and keeping our eye and our priority on the kingdom of God. Because that should be our sole focus in this life, is just serving God, not serving ourselves like I feel we are pushed in today's society. We're focusing on the things that are temporal, but we need to be focusing on the things that are eternal. We got a lot of lost people around us. People that we know we don't pay much attention to because we're too busy caring about ourselves. We need to start worrying about the things that are eternal, these people's souls, the people that we're responsible for. They need somebody to show them the gospel. They may not have anybody that will do that for them, but they have each and every one of us. And I got a question to ask each and every one person that's here, and that is, are you pursuing what glorifies God or what benefits you? If you're pursuing what benefits you, it'll get you nowhere. It may get you through this life, but for what? There's an eternity after that. Would you rather live a very comfortable 80 years being proud of what you've made of yourself? Or would you rather be able to take your last breath knowing that you have served God to your best ability? And I want us to each be able to say the latter. I want us to be able to say that we have given our all to the Lord's work and left no stone unturned. If we are to make God our priority, God's will, it's going to take some humility on our part. We need to take off that pride that we have, that we wear every single day. We need to build some courage like Abraham had to be able to make that sacrifice for the Lord's work. And most of all, we need to have faith that the Lord's got it. He's got us. We need to not worry about all these things that do not matter, that are temporal. I got one last thing, and then I'm going to read a passage, and I'll close. I want us to think about what are some areas of our life that we choose to prioritize ourselves instead of letting God take things that we prioritize just because it's comfortable, so that would give us more success in this world in man's eyes, or even just personal desires. Because that is a heart issue, and we need to get ourselves fixed. If you do have something that is not correlating, lining up with the Lord's will, we need to cut that out and get it right back where it needs to be, and that'll take the Lord's help. You're not going to be able to do that on your own. I'm just going to read one last passage, and then I'll turn it back over. And that is Proverbs 3. And I'll be reading 5 through 10. And it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine." And with that, I'd like to encourage y'all to make God your priority. And I'll turn it back over to you.
Give us some examples of people that did it right.